We'll read this again tonight for the reference point so we can go back and pick up from there. Verse 23 of chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Our Heavenly Father, thank you again tonight for the precious Word of God that we have to study. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that helps us. Help us tonight grow a little closer to Thee, because we see ourselves and we see You and the relationship between the two. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, last week, we got down, we were talking about Adam and Eve. And I want to go back, and we talk about God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. I want you to get this in your mind again tonight. It's important that you do that. We set up here, this would be looked at as heaven for a type. Back here in the back, the back row where you can see, set in the middle would be God the Father. He'd be set like this, facing us. On his right would be God the Son. On his left would be God the Holy Spirit. The all three are equal, and that's what I want you to see them. Even though the role playing is going to be line up different, that's where they are. They're equal. All three are God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, we looked last week about the creation. And I went down, and you know, I went down and we talked about forming a man. I want you to go to the book of Genesis with me now. I want to show you something I think will be a blessing tonight as we go back and pick up at creation. Now, we live in an age today more so than ever. Well, just probably 100 years ago, you didn't have many people on the face of the earth. Even though you had some, you didn't have many as you do now that believe in evolution. They couldn't explain some things, but even those who were not believing about God or didn't believe in evolution. And the reason for that was that the studies were not there. But now we come to this day where you have a lot of folks believe in evolution, and if they don't, they believe something just as bad. Anything to get away from who God himself is. We know this, that in Genesis chapter 1, it said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's a statement. And in that particular statement, ladies and gentlemen, it's truth. And that's where we start at. Now, when you look at the creation to begin with, to come to where we're at again and understand about our relationship, why is it different than everything else that God created except for the angels? And even with the angels, it's different because God did not redeem one angel that fell. He didn't even give them a process that where they could be redeemed. But he did give a means where man in his image could be redeemed if they bleed the record. In an amazing thing, the only thing God asked us to do is to obey him and believe what he says. And he could come to us and shock us all. But he wanted to show that man, in his image, could use the God-given abilities and talents he has, reason about things, and analyze when God said something, documented it, and look at what God made, and come up with the fact in his reasoning that God is to be believed more so than anything else in the world, that Satan, and of course most things in the world that's anti-God is enforced by Satan anyhow. So we see that he said to begin with in chapter 1, verse 6, he said, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the water, and let it divide the water, so forth." We see that here he just spoke it, and it took place. We see in verse 9, "And God said, let the waters under the heavens and gather together one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so." He spoke it again. And we see the water and land appearing. And then he said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the earth yielding seed, and the fruit yield trees," and so forth. And it was so. So again, he spoke these into existence. In verse 14, he said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens and divide the day from the night." And it happened. Are you with me? It happened. Do you hear what I said? It happened. He didn't do anything extraordinary other than just speak. What power? What power is in his word? And then he goes on in verse 20 and said, "Let the waters bring forth abundant moving creatures that hath life and fowl the air." And so here again, what we see in the air, what we see in the water, he just spoken into existence. And then in verse 24, it said, "And God said, let the earth bring forth every living creature after its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth and so forth." As a matter of fact, if you look with me in over just a in chapter 2, and in verse 19, he said, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field. How did he do it? He called every one of them from the ground, the beast of the field. They have the flesh, made up of like we have in flesh, but different because we're more glorified in a body of flesh than we see the animals, though they're certainly miraculous in their own kind. They brought forth their own kind. And here we come down and we see that God looked at this and saw it and it was good. And then he said, let us make man, in verse 26 of chapter 1, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Notice the pronoun, us and our. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and so forth. And 27 says, so God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Now, let's turn over to chapter 2, verse 7. We know that it's just read along there, it seemed like the creation came by the speaking of God's word. It just seemed like that's what happened. And it did for everything up to the halfway point in the sixth day. Here, God goes further, and he tells us, he said in the Lord, verse 7, God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed into the breath of life, in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, here's the thing. I'm not going to go back to what we did last week about form and so forth, but here's the thing I didn't get into last week that I wanted to and didn't get there. What is the difference than this man that God calls Adam? What is the difference in him and the rest of the creation? Well, number one, he's in the likeness of God. He's in God's image. What is it makes it a difference? If you go back and look at all the other animals and everything else God created would accept the angel, I'm talking about here on this earth, one factor is involved that is different than all the rest of those when it comes to man in God's image. It's the factor of communication. The other animals and birds, they can communicate with their own species, but it's not a voice, talked speech indication of communication. They can't speak like you and I can. So when I see here that God says that he breathed into him the breath of life and he became a living soul, at that moment, that image which God has given forth the ability to think, the ability to make decisions, the ability to form words, and that's where I went back before and we talked about, you know, the image that we can think, we can communicate, we can actually conceive a thought, which is a concept, and a concept can set forth a theory, and the theory cultivates a philosophy, which is that in turn has to do with wisdom and knowledge, and philosophy, which is knowledge, makes our belief system, and our belief system literally motivates our behavior. That's the difference in creation of this earth and everything in it when it comes to man and the rest of it. There is no such a thing as the animals get together with a group and talk about, well, let's see, let's make friends. Let's say, there's no such a thing as the elephants say, let's make friends with the hippopotamus. They don't think that way. But man does. The fact that God gave man speech is the difference between the rest of the creation. The fact he can think, that means he can think and formulate things and decide things and communicate with ideas different than anything else that God made. Now, they have communication, but notice the different things. Sometimes they say, you know, see a dolphin, say, well, he can speak. No, he can't. You may learn him to say a few words, but that's all he can go. He's not going to say one day, you know what? My trainer's been trying to teach me how to speak. I think I'm going to go to school a little bit. He can't do it. He has not that. There's no way he can talk about, even though they have signals and so forth or sounds that they have where helps them as a group, there is nothing that goes beyond that. They're in their own group. Every species of animals in their own group communicate a certain way, but they can't communicate to any one other groups. But you and I can. There's not a human being on the face of the earth that can speak that you and I can't communicate to, providing we know their language. One time it was all together. God had to confuse the tongues because what he was seeing was happening. And so what happens now, notice, if you look with me over in chapter 2, again, down about verse 18, let's go back and read in verse 70. He said then that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil shall not eat of it, of the tree in the garden, and so forth. The day that you eat, you're going to die. But then notice he said, the Lord said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and they came out of the ground too. This is kind of a summary of what we already been reading. But notice he said, and he brought them into Adam to see what he would call them. Why? Adam can speak. Adam can think. Adam has the way to evaluate them. I'm talking about, don't come, hey, when you really see what God is saying, anybody who will see that, get off of this thing that we came from apes and monkeys. I don't care what you do, there's not an ape or a monkey yet that can talk. And by the way, they're still here. Where's the chain of difference at? Where's the lost chain at? It's not there. There's no animal, no ape or monkey. God said, I want you to name the rest of it. By the way, God didn't let an animal name us. I like this. I don't know who you like it or not, but thank God for me studying this the last 3 months. Because this assures me something. The fact they can call me anything they want to call. And they can call us as Christian, ladies and gentlemen. God's the final source for you and I. And this is his source right here. And so he said to call them every living creature that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. He's got all of this power and speech. He's got this great mind to evaluate something. He can communicate with God who can speak. And God comes down in the cool of the day from where he's at to the earth and communes with him. They had a great relationship, Adam and Eve. And when God was gone, Eve and Adam enjoyed each other. Why? They could communicate to each other. Do you want me to tell you what Satan does in marriages today, more so than everything else? Keep you from communicating to each other. We try to read each other from some kind of powerful thing we got. You can't. We have to communicate. There should be a communication that we could sit and listen, and then we should talk when we should talk. Our wives should be able to tell us about themselves. We should be able to tell them about ourselves. They won't understand us until we tell them. We won't understand them until they tell us. We're not like animals, no matter what they say. You and I are not like an animal. We may act like it, but we're not. Because God has given us his image stamped upon us. And we can communicate with each other. And we see that right here. God has given Adam that this fantastic task. And you don't see him saying anything to an animal about doing this particular thing here. And then notice he said, and then Adam in verse 23, he said, he saw me need a help meet. Verse 21, 22, we see how he took a rib and made a woman. And watch, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. He even named her. Amen? He even named her. And from there, and they were both naked in the garden and so forth. And then in chapter 3. Now, here's the amazing thing. Snakes do not talk. Amen? Have you ever seen a snake talk? If you did, get him. You'll make a lot of money. Amen? I'll tell you this. You'll be like, you run. I don't care what they're talking about. I'm getting away from them. Amen? But what I'm saying, a snake is a snake. He can hiss and do a lot of things, but he can't talk. But all of a sudden, we come down to chapter 3, and we see a snake talking. What does it mean? That means that Satan could talk. Lucifer could talk. That means angelic hope. And I know he can, because we go to Isaiah, and he talks about, I'll lift my hand above God. I'll take its seat. He's telling us, God gives a record what Satan said he's going to do. And God said, I'll cast him down. So the angels had the ability to converse and talk in language of some kind. The Old Testament language was the Hebrew we have most in. That's the language that God gave most of the in the Old Testament, we have too, through the Hebrew language. Then we get the New, we get the Greek, and now, thank God, we got a preserved copy of the Word of God that's in our English language. But he comes down, and Satan is doing the talking. And here's the thing about Satan can come to Eve now. Someone said, well, amazing thing, if the serpent in the garden could talk, then may we make him talk today. You got to keep in mind, God can make an animal talk if he wants to, but that's not the way they're made. By the way, Satan has the power to engulf and take over anything he needs to, too. So it's not the snake talking, it's Satan through him talking, or through the snake talking. And here the conversation goes between Adam and Eve. And so now I'm coming back to the point where we left last week. In the beginning, Adam and Eve's life was not like it is after the fall. And their life is not like our life is right now until after the fall. Someone said at creation, God made man, Genesis 1, 26 and 28, and Genesis 2, 7. They said at Christmas, God was made man, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. They said at Calvary, God was made sin for man, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21. And at salvation, God makes men of God. We have that in John chapter 1. Verse 12 and 13. So these are the things we're getting to know who we are when we look at ourselves as a child of God. And it helps us understand him. And as we understand him, he helps us understand ourselves. And then he helps us look at the relationship between the two. It is God's desire to let us know as a human race, he loves people. It's God's desire. He said, I don't get one bit of pleasure out of the wicked dying. Some people think God's so much of love that, he will never destroy anyone with his wrath. Well, this Bible is full of that he will. But at the same time, God gets no pleasure out of the wicked dying. God would like his creation to obey him. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, our whole life is wrapped around that word obey. Amen. You and I who are married have to obey some things about the relationship. If not, we won't have no relationship. God said it's better to obey than to give sacrifice. You know what? A person don't have a bit of problem about church if they obey God. A person don't have a problem about tithing if they obey God. It's either obey or not obey. Hey, let me tell you something. You don't have to obey if you don't want to. That stoplight out here when you go through it. But if you don't, you suffer the consequences. Sooner or later. Somebody say, well, I know where's the stop sign. I've been through that 25 times. And I just went through it. Nothing happened yet. Keep going. It will. Why? Because the stop sign till you get there to obey for protection. So obedience is very important in the family of God. Everything God tells us on the basis of here's the facts, obey or not obey. If I obey, the consequences is one way. If I disobey, the consequences is another way. That's the reason God said to Israel, I lay before you life and death. Choose life that you may live. But if you choose death, you will die. Simple as that. And God is not so complicated in relating. By he could be, but he's not complicated in relating to us what he said in his word. He broke it down as simple as he can get it as far as the language. Some words may be culture had a little bit different, but we can study those and begin to get an idea of what God is saying. So Adam was in a perfect line with God. Now we have heaven where God's at, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, and we have man on earth. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Man has a spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 shows that alignment, your whole spirit, your whole soul, your whole body. That's alignment. So now if I want to see God as his equal in this created program he's got, these three now are equal this way, in every way, as far as who they are, but in this role play, and to come back and show again, I've got God the Father, I've got God the Son, I've got God the Holy Spirit. Now, the connection on earth at this time, there's a perfect alignment. Everything from the body, through the soul, through the man's spirit, to God's spirit, to Jesus Christ, to God the Father. That's a perfect alignment. And there's harmony, there's joy, there's communication, there's there is a wonderful relationship. Adam can come and Eve can come in the midst of God and not be afraid whatsoever. Why? There's harmony. Can you not see that? Brother Tower, come right here a minute. And we said he was my spirit the other day. We're connected. When Adam was made and had the soul, spirit, the spirit, soul, and body, it's connected to God. There is a straight line from heaven. That's the reason God can come down and commune with man, because the spirit is connected. This is where we get our input from God. But the very moment the perfect alignment was broken because of sin and what? Disobedience. Now, man's got nothing to do but wonder where he's at. This spirit can lead anyway. Thank you, buddy. You see, his spirit can lead anywhere. Now, here it was only obey. Isn't that right? Would you not agree? Only thing that Adam and Eve had to do was obey God. About what? The tree of what? Knowledge, good and evil. Isn't that just one thing? Just one thing was all they had to do to obey God, and we'd not been in the mess we had. To be sure, they had enough sense, as smart as they were, not to do that one thing. You know what, though? Because they were in the image of God, and because they could think, when Satan came along and brought a different thought they'd never heard before, they knew God said not touch that tree, but they never heard anyone say what Satan did. But God said that because he knows there are some things about that you don't know. You know what is he? It'll make you look like gods. Now, even to an innocent person with a perfect alignment, there's a doubt coming in. The test is to show that if man would obey God, simply his word, and keep this alignment, things will go on the best that man's ever seen. But once the disobedient comes in, then there's chaos starts. God no longer is coming down with the harmony, and man with his spirit and body in the center, he's going every which way. The only thing the spirit can do is horizontally now. And there's a battle between the spirit of man and the flesh. Let me ask you something. Without the input of God and the Holy Spirit, when there is a battle between the spirit and the flesh, to dictate to the soul, you tell me who's going to win. The flesh. The flesh. Because the flesh had so many things tangible. Hear me, folks. My life is short, but God is showing me something. I've got to get across if it takes till I die. The flesh is tangible. It's everything you can see, everything you can feel. And there's a lot of good things that the flesh feels good at doing. But there's no enlightenment other than the spirit and the soul and the flesh. And so since you can see the flesh, and since there's communication with the flesh, and since we get our standards sometimes because what the majority does in the flesh, we feel safe. You ever heard tell of people feel safe in numbers? I believe that. I know this when I know there's a hurricane coming or there's a cyclone or tornado coming and it's close by. I don't know why, Jesse, but I feel a lot safer when I got some people around than I do by myself. Are you that way? If not, help me. I need some help. And the more around me, the better I feel. You know why? Because we can communicate. We support each other. Can you not understand, though, that now that I'm cut off from God, this helps me understand why the world hates us so much. It helps me understand why Muslims hate us so much, because we're basing ourselves as the image of God and realize we're in a lost condition in this world, and God has shown us there's only one way to get back in that alignment again, and that's through Jesus Christ. Amen. We can't get it back without him. So what is this world doing? They're taking the flesh and the spirit, which they don't even realize what's going on, that this book tells us we have. The alignment's out of place, and they're trying their best to do what they need to do. And most of the time, they're following a leader who Satan has planted somewhere or another. And because of that, he's leading with a mind that's warped, getting them to think that God has told them to do things that he's not told them to do. And so now the flesh is wallowing. Here I am. Brother Alford come to me one day and say, but Brother Ennis, you know good and well, that's wrong. God is called out against that. Well, where do you get that at? Oh, from the Bible? I don't believe the Bible. Well, the Bible is the Word of God. Well, it may be to you, but it's not to me. And then all of a sudden, I come over here to this group, and all of these groups together agree with me. We're a little bit different, but our flesh enjoys. Next thing, I've got a whole group of people that's more than he, that agrees together. We may not agree exactly, but we agree together that this Bible is not the Word of God, that there's more ways to get to God than through Jesus Christ. And we support ourselves in that belief. And we got a whole world doing that today. And everybody feels comfortable because there's more. And in their mind they're thinking, because the alignment is not there, they're thinking that God has got to be a God that will not send all these people to hell. He won't bring his wrath up. Surely he understands who we are. We're sincere. We believe what we believe. And we try our best to get along with others in this life. And when that happens, if we support ourselves, and you have a group that says, but wait, this is what the Bible says, there's an irritation, agitation going on, aggravating going on there. And what happens is, if we're not going to go that way, we more and more resist those and get to the place that, because we're so convicted, even hate them. Because everybody, God, we'll worship, don't tell us to hate anybody. Or if it does, say love everybody, but you can kill those that you want to if you're enemy. I don't understand. You tell me how in this world you'd have a religion and say, we love everybody. But I'll tell you this, if you're Christian or Jew, we're going to give jihad against you. I don't understand that. This Bible teaches us God loves, and when he loves, he helps us love people. Folks, I can love my enemies today, and I'm doing more of that now than in my early ministry because I didn't know how to do that in early ministry. And by the way, you probably are too. You probably are too. What I'm saying, this alignment that's taking place. One person said, minds are like parachutes. They only function when they're open. But one thing is for sure, God wants to feed our minds and our hearts with his precious word. And so tonight, as I close, Adam was in this perfect alignment. This alignment was perverted through Satan's influence in Genesis 3. The soul began to assert. Now, here's the thing. They are cut off now. And so we were born in this world physically, cut off from God. And so what happens as we grow academically and religious and get our little religious coat on, where it may come from, the soul begins to assert itself over the spirit to obey the flesh. Why? The flesh enjoys the sin for a season. And if the soul doesn't know any different, and you got the spirit saying, well, you know what? That's a little shady. Always question everything. It's kind of like mother and dad when we were young coming up, just everything we did seemed to displease to some degree, who we went with, who we talked with, everything. You know, all of us that way. They loved us enough, we didn't even realize how much. By the way, I don't think most of us, when we come up as children, really understand how much our mother and dad did love us until we get grown and have our own children. And so what happens is now, here I am, spirit, quieter, quieter. Flesh, wow, this is good. If it feels good, do it. And then I have someone come through the Spirit naturally and say, but wait a minute, you know that's wrong. First thing I'll say, but why? Surely God wouldn't be upset for me doing something that feels so good. That's the thinking when we're cut off from God. And so here we go through. So the soul begins to assert itself over the Spirit and obey the desires of the flesh. Now, contaminated by sin, the direct link is broken. And that's the reason why. You have some people do some awful things. They say, don't bother me one bit. I am amazed at the people who tell you they can use God's name in vain. It don't bother me. I'm sorry if it bothers you. I respect it. It don't bother me a bit. Man, a man's gone a long ways when you use God's name in vain and not bother him. He's a long ways from God. After the fall, the soul became more asserted time as men enter into the disposition of conscience. Now the fall, the innocence is gone. He's in a disposition of conscience. And now in this conscience, he has some things. You know, there's got to be some things that Adam and Eve remember what God said when they were in a perfect alignment. How do I know that? Let me give you an example. You take a boy or girl that's raised in a home, a Christian home. In the last few weeks, I've run across this a couple times too. You take a person that's raised in a home, and they got godly parents and so forth. And if they rebel against the Christian principles and go somewhere else, and they get over here in the hole of sin, it's not uncommon somewhere down that God remind them of that godly mother or dad. And they say, you know what? My mother or my dad were godly people, and they told me about this. And God would use that testimony to shake up the spiritual side so that they began to see a difference than what the flesh is offering. And the flesh is offering a big thing. When you don't know anything else but one side and the flesh offers something and you see the world doing it, what could be wrong with that? What could be wrong with that? What could be wrong for people say they try to, what is surreal law? There are times that when men can beat their wives. If it's law, what's wrong with that? It's wrong because it's not right. It's not right. And so here, after the fall, the soul became more asserted, and as man entered in the disposition of this conscience, man was left to himself to decide what is right and wrong. And that's where we're at. The breakage is gone. The input from God can't come until the alignment is made back up, and the world's not in alignment. And so what happens comes now, and I'm going to quit on this thought, that man was left to himself to decide what is right and wrong. In his own eyes, he's saying what is right and wrong. After all, I'm an intelligent being. I wouldn't do things to hurt someone. I wouldn't do things to hurt myself knowingly. Surely God's not enough sense to know if I didn't think this is right, I would do it. If I thought this is wrong, I would not do it. And he convinces himself to decide what is right and wrong. And so here's what happens, and I know I'm going to close. I'm burning up, folks, I'm telling you. Here's what's going to happen. Here's a generation comes along, and they fit a certain slot. Okay? And then they have an offspring, and another generation comes along, and it's more educated, less religious. There is the pie to get. There's work. Now there's less church, less listened. We only listen to the Word of God being taught anymore. And then you come along, and you adopt a philosophy. Well, you know, that was good for those folks back there, but we're a little bit more educated. We've got to live. Hey, that was good for the dark ages when people believe all this religious stuff. Look what happens. But we're a little more advanced. We know more. Now, what happens there in this relationship is the spirit has no influence to show the difference because the alignment's not there. And what happens, we are the center of thought. So I might leave some of the, hey, there's some people who don't believe this book are good moral people. You know that? They've learned that certain things in the flesh you can't do. If you do, it will destroy you. You know what, folks? We live in an age today, a lot of unsaved people don't drink, don't curse, don't smoke. You know that? And the reason is they say, hey, we know, we got no sense to know those things are not good for you. So what happens is, and I want to use this right now, if you will, Brother, y'all sitting on the front, and I appreciate that, but help me out, Brother Thomas, come right here. We told before, he's my body, and he's my spirit. Now watch, the correct way is here for God, and I'm here, and here's my body. It's connect. Now this is broke, so the spirit is moved. Here I am. Now, what happens if I'm not careful? Right to start with, my flesh began to get between me and God. Now here, I wallow in this. I'm still conscious want to think about God. By the way, I don't find too many people not religious enough to think about God. He may be 10 different gods, but there's a God. But my body has hindered me from really seeing. And then suddenly, I began to say, I come to a place where this is not what I see. This is dangerous. Then what happens is this. I'm the soul. I'm the one where the decision's been made. And so what will happen is this. I'll get the spirit way back here. And then I'll get the body here. Then I'll get here the soul. And I'm making decisions now based on what I know only. But I'm further from God. My spirit is not doing much for me now. It's trying, but it can't. But I'm wallowing here. And by the way, when I don't do what the flesh wants me to do, making decisions out of this alignment, and I move into an intellectual, knowledgeable thing and start making decisions, my flesh will still stay there and knows that where I'm at, I'm wrong. And eventually they're going to get me in things anyhow, that where I'll just lose the cool. The only thing can help me now in this state, and I will we will go further and further and further this way from God, thinking we're all right. Until Jesus Christ comes, thank you, brother. Pick that up next week and see what he does to get this alignment back in line. So we'll have a direct communication from God the Father through his word, by his spirit, teaching us the things that need to be known. Man in God's image, God reveals man to himself. He reveals God to man, and he takes man and God and shows the relationship to each other from this book. And he shows us when disobedience is there, when disobedience is not there, and what the consequences are. Father, thank you again for the precious word of God. Lord, help us get this. We'll never see it like it again. Not here. I don't know. Maybe so. Not here. Lord, we've got to slow this down and realize that how what we do, God has given us in this book, how it works. And Lord, we thank you so much you didn't leave us cut off. We were alienated, Paul said, from God. Enemies of God. Without God and no hope, he told the church at Ephesus. And it amazes me how people in this world don't believe that, because they think surely they know enough about God to appease him so that he in turn will make sure everything's okay at the end of this life. Lord, I'm glad you give us the understanding. Only Jesus makes the difference. Honor yourself, dear Father. Please don't let this go. Please don't let this go unnoticed in our lives here, because this will make us stronger in the Lord as we get to these last days to understand all we're doing is looking and saying, God, help us understand ourselves, help us understand you, help us understand our relationship in this life until you get us in a glorified body, that new creation in Christ Jesus, and we won't have to ever worry about being separated again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.